G'day and welcome to the FIFO podcast. I'm Paul Smith, the founder of Freedom in Finding Ourselves, and this podcast is all about FIFO, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The aim is to share a message with you from men and women that have struggled and overcome their own FIFO battles. I hope through this you can realise you're not alone and you can learn from others how they went on to turning their life around and leaving the industry, and also those that have implemented some key structures and strategies to make sure the FIFO lifestyle works for them. Welcome to episode 3 of the FIFO podcast. I'm Paul Smith, your host, and today we have Lachlan Samuel from the Open Up podcast. He's a former FIFO worker who, after his own struggles with depression and attempted suicide, started this mental health podcast to help others who feel alone or misunderstood, just like he did. This has also led him to speaking about his lived experience and facilitating mental health workshops. So listen in, guys, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, g'day, Lachlan. Welcome to my podcast, mate. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on board. And I know you're doing amazing things over there in WA with your own Open Up podcast. But, mate, I'd really love you just to share with the listeners a little bit about who you are, your background, and why you're doing what you're doing now and why it's so important to you.
Cool. So my name's Lachlan Samuel. Like you said, I've got a podcast that's called Open Up Podcast that's on all the podcast platforms. As well as that, we facilitate FIFO mental health workshops and do lived experience speaking specifically with the FIFO industry. My story, I'll start it from FIFO, seeing as it's like a FIFO specific one. My story starts with me running away from New Zealand as a narcissistic cheater, addicted to ecstasy, and just a real mess of a human being. And I run over to WA, straight from Auckland to Kalgoorlie as a 19-year-old for the money, because I saw money as being successful or being enough or worthy. And so I stayed in that industry in Kalgoorlie for a little bit, for about 4 years, got a partner, and then we moved to Perth. And neither of us knew anyone in Perth, bro. So we just moved there for the lifestyle. If you've been to Kalgoorlie, you know there ain't no water around there, man. So it was exciting to move to Perth and, you know, the potential of going to the beach. While we're in Perth, like just starting out our life there, I was on a 5-2 roster. So I'd leave on a Monday, come home on a Friday afternoon, 2 to 2.5K in the hand a week. And I was stoked, over the moon. But my partner at the time wasn't, because when I was going away, it was me going back to purpose, to friends, to community, to free gym, free food, not really having to do anything myself. But when I went away for her, it just meant she was alone. And so every night we'd have a call at about 9 o'clock, and I'd just talk to her until she fell asleep on the phone, because that's how alone she was. And looking back now, I can see that she was just severely depressed. It ended up getting to a point where she threatened to take her life unless I stopped working away. And because I was so identified as the guy making heaps of money, working really hard, there wasn't any way I was stopping. And even when she attempted to take her life, I didn't stop. I just continued. In fact, I made it worse. I took on a 4-in-1 gig instead, went for more money and working even harder, more status, I guess. It made myself feel even more worthy doing that. But, you know, obviously that didn't work out. If 5 days away, 2 days off did that to her, then 4 weeks away was just too much, and we split up. From there, I went through depression while working 4-in-1. As you can imagine, depression on 4-in-1 isn't the best. Affected the way I worked and communicated, and I was forced to resign from there. And so, like, 6 hours after signing the bit of paper, I was back in Perth, bro. Big house, no friends, no family, no partner, no job, no identity, eh? And so I just spiraled into depression, did everything I could to not go back to FIFO, because I was embarrassed about being essentially kicked out. I had my big brother and all my friends up there. And so I poured my savings into a business that I had no right even attempting. Lost that, got myself into debt. My ex ended up letting me know that she's pregnant. I tried to force her into an abortion, and then just treated her horribly for like the whole pregnancy, bro. And then finally, when I lost all that money, got myself into debt, my daughter and her mom moved away. I went back right back into depression, and then attempted to take my life. And it's just been a constant grind, a constant evolution since then, man. So I remember like trying to hang myself. I'm a rigger, and so I strung the rope up. I knew which knot to tie, but subconsciously I mustn't have wanted to die. But I remember seeing my daughter when the rope hit my neck, seeing her walking to school, holding her mum's hand, like pink backpack, pigtails. And I just remember thinking, fuck, if I do this, she's never going to have a father's hand to hold. Like, she's always going to think that she wasn't good enough for you to stick around. And so I'm lucky enough that I could get myself out of that. And that moment was probably the moment, the first moment in my life that I put someone else first. And so it's just been a constant evolution, the pursuit of becoming the best version of myself as a man, as a human. But most importantly, as a father, just so I can nurture her. And so it's been ups and downs since then, man. Like, I've got a lot of tools in my mental health tool belt. I ended up going back to FIFO 4-1 at Wheatstone. A guy up there took his life. And then a conversation started while we were there. Oh, he's a pussy. He doesn't deserve to live anyway. And that hurt me at my core as someone who had attempted before. And so I went back into depression, and then eventually one day, bro, I just walked straight off site into my superintendent's office and just cried and said, man, if I go back to my room, I'm going to try and kill myself. And so he held space for me, but pretty much evacuated me straight away, got someone to pack my room up, put me on the next plane, and then, never heard from them again. And from there, I started the podcast just for people like me who are suffering in isolation, who felt alone and misunderstood. About 9 months after being evacuated, a friend from that same site took his life. So ever since then, this has been real for me. Like, it's entrenched in my heart. Like, I really do feel like I'm going to be the one who makes mental health mainstream. And I believe that starts with FIFO, just because of what I've been through personally.
Mate, that's one of the probably hardest stories to hear, that from something that is so close to you and something that is so real for you. And I take my hat off to you to be able to share that openly and honestly, and allow guys in that space that might be in that position now to understand that there are so many guys out there that are actually feeling in similar ways. And the pride gets in the way so often, I think, and especially in that FIFO, you talked about being named those things, being the pussy or not being man enough, or not being good enough, not being able to handle the situation for what it was. But little do they know what's going on in the background either of so many people's lives. And for you to be able to stand there and share that with men now and stand up in front of those people, those very people that have probably labelled you those things in those camps before and may still do, and it doesn't matter, it's irrelevant what they do now, but to be able to do that, mate, I honestly applaud you for that, because the more people that can is the more people that we're going to save. And I think what you're doing is just unbelievable. So for the guys that are out there, I mean, along when you tell your story, you see, and looking back, you see so many signs of or issues that were coming up along the lines, but probably are very noticeable now, but weren't then. So for the guys that are out there, what are some of those key telltale signs? And we do hear it, but they don't like to hear it from a workspace. So from a man that's lived it and is here to tell his story, what are some of those key telltale signs?
Anything like being angry, anything that exhibits you, any way that you exhibit that you're overwhelmed or stress, if you express that negatively, that's a telltale sign that you have either trauma that's buried, lies that are hidden, or you're wearing a mask. It's as simple as that, really, bro.
You talk about the mask, and you know, we've had this conversation with other guys too, and that that persona of who I am and that mask that you wear to go to these roles sometimes is, or wanting to fit in or being better than what you actually are. It's a constant battle to prove your worth, and you just can't be you sometimes. So how do you just be you in this industry so you don't fall into that category?
I think it comes back to self-awareness and self-acceptance. You've got to be aware of why you're there in the first place. You've got to be aware of what's shaped you to date, like all the trauma, all the moments of impact that have shaped your behavior, which ultimately become your habits and your personality. Very important to become aware of that. And then just having the self-acceptance and giving yourself permission to be vulnerable enough to show all of you without worrying about fitting in. Because if you just keep wearing those masks, if you just keep living that lie to fit in, you're going to feel like a fraud. And that's where self-hate comes in, self-loathing.
Wow. There's a lot of key tips there, mate. And do you find that now with the awareness that you're starting to bring, you're having some incredible conversations with some incredible people out there? They're bringing a lot of awareness. Is the message starting to sink in? Can you hear that? Apologies to the listeners. Yep. I am sitting in an airport right now.
Sorry, what did you say, bro?
The awareness that you're bringing through the podcast and the conversations that you're having, do you feel that that message is slowly starting to sink in? There seems to be a lot of awareness out there now. Are people starting to actually implement some differences to make a change?
Yeah, people are, man. It's slowly but surely. Every time someone steps up and shares their story, that's just taking us one step closer to making mental health mainstream. And like with the rise of yoga and meditation, and now what I'm introducing at the FIFO Summit tomorrow with breath work, there's so many different avenues people can utilize as tools to help them through and not control their mind, but cultivate the ability to shift from a negative thought to a positive one.
Very true. So you talked about the summit, and it's something that's pretty cool. And I know that you've been able to bring that now to the east coast of Australia too, coming up down the track. So tell us a little bit about that. And obviously it's come about through this, but the reasoning behind it and what it's all about.
Yeah, so it's a funny story, man. Like obviously I'm FIFO. I had a friend who took his life on the same FIFO site, but I didn't feel like I had the right to step back into FIFO because I got evacuated to someone who was suicidal. And so I was still stuck in victim mode until I got slapped into stepping into the FIFO industry. And, you know, I put up a video that went gangbusters about stopping FIFO suicide. I'm sure you saw the whiny snowflake comments as well. But just since then, man, it's just sort of snowballed out of control. Like the idea was to bring leaders within the FIFO space together so that we could discuss the problems and then come up with solutions together, but also introduce them to the knowledge and the tools that we believe will progress the FIFO industry and help create a mentally healthy FIFO culture.
Yeah, well, and that's great. And look, there's so many programs out there that companies are implementing, but when it's from lived experience, from the guys that have actually been there and done the rosters, they've done the hard yards, they've had their own struggles and they've come through the other side, the awareness there and the rapport that you get with people on site is so much different. And I think that's the key element to what you're doing now, is bringing that lived experience awareness where guys actually can relate.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what it's all about, bro. No matter what industry you're in, you want to feel like you're understood. We're going to do everything we can, especially when we're struggling and don't understand what we're going through. We'll do everything we can to put up barriers between us and the help that we need. And so being someone who can resonate on that level as someone with lived experience from the industry just takes down one of those added barriers.
That's beautiful, mate. What's one key lesson for the FIFO listeners out there that they can implement into their camp life or their home life that will make a huge impact for them and their rosters?
I think it'd be to cultivate self-awareness. And so in cultivating self-awareness, I'd say start with a journaling practice and meditation. Like, journal at the end of your day, just pose questions that are going to bring your awareness to the behavior that you've exhibited throughout the day. Over time, you'll come to notice negative patterns of behavior that you're constantly exhibiting. And those may be habits, those may be from underlying beliefs. Once you become aware of those, you can start working on them. Meditation, like I said, cultivating the ability to shift from a negative thought to a positive one. Hugely, hugely important, especially for FIFO, especially if you're in a team or a crew who is overly negative. That's just going to help you throughout the day, and especially if you're alone in your donga. With that reflection process and that journaling, over time, as you get better, man, like, at first you're going to have resistance. Good change needs resistance, but when you're posing those questions, you're not going to give the honest, raw, genuine answer straight up. It's going to take you a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, to get to the crux of what's actually happening. And then over time, you build a certain level of vulnerability within yourself. And then moving on from there, the next step is to be vulnerable with someone else. But you can build that vulnerability through self-awareness and a self-awareness practice. And why that's important for FIFO is because you need to be aware of the behavior that you're exhibiting and what's, I guess, created the belief that compels that behavior. And then once you do that, once you're that aware and you can work on those, you can slowly filter down through the timeline and work out why the fuck you're even in FIFO in the first place, why you're still there if you don't want to be there, or why you're there if your partner doesn't want you there and she wants you home because she misses you.
So many home truths there that people can learn about themselves in a very quick fashion. And I'm a firm believer, if you don't have that plan, you'd have no right to be there. And you need to be very specific about that. And when those things change, you need to reassess very quickly, because shit can hit the fan very quickly. And they're the things you want to avoid. So, mate, yeah. Tell us, sorry.
Well, like, I've got a financial guy coming tomorrow to the summit to speak about the impact of financial stress on especially men and the role it plays in male suicide. And I'm the poster boy for wasting your money. Man, when I left Kalgoorlie, I was there for 4 years making really, really good money. I come away with a $10,000 car, and that was it. Like, when I went through and audited everything, I wasted over 300K on, like, drugs, alcohol, and food.
That's a very true and very real thing that happens to so many out there, and that's not what we go to FIFO for. That's not what we put up with the rosters and the bullshit for. That's have a clear, specific path. Very true.
You need to.
So, mate, where can people find you?
So they can find me, I'm probably most frequent on LinkedIn, Lachlan Samuel. Otherwise, the podcast is available on all podcast platforms. So iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and the rest of them, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere else, just open up podcast.
Beautiful. Well, Lachlan Samuel, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. You're a true warrior of what this industry needs, and to share your story so openly and honestly and so rawly is a full credit to you, and I'm very, very grateful to have had the opportunity and to share a little piece of your journey and what you're doing with the rest of the world, mate. So thank you kindly, and I'm sure we'll be in touch soon, buddy.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate what you're doing, and good luck with all of this, eh, man? It'll take off.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, bro.
Well, thanks for tuning in today, guys, and I hope you did get some value from that today. Hope you enjoyed the story that you may have just heard. And if you did get some value, I'd appreciate and be very grateful if you could like and share this podcast with other people, because there might be someone out there that might be struggling today that just needs to hear the story from someone else, to realize that they're not alone, to realize that there is hope, and to realize that you can overcome the very struggles you might be dealing with now. So until next time, stay safe, take care. I'm Paul. the founder of Freedom in Finding Ourselves, and you can always find me over at LinkedIn or on Facebook at Mental Freedom, or you can email me at paul@freedominfindingourselves.com. Stay safe. Take care.